Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. This Masters preview edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details over at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Odds Crowd. Odds Crowd has a ton of free fantasy betting contests, including a 2K season long MLB contest and a $500 weekly contest. Download their app today over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise has free picks every day for every sport. Check out all their expert plays and betting news at PicksWise.com. That's PicksWise.com. We're also giving away $500 in our Masters DFS contest that is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
He's one of those guys who will get penetration.
Over, over, over.
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
San Diego Superchargers.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money. You're in with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
No bullshit. It feels really, it's nice over here by myself. I'm enjoying the space. I'm enjoying.
Get a little elbow room. No Colby dance.
We debuted the studio in the middle of March Madness, yes, which is peak Colby dance season, peak pick Dundee. And so it's just, you know, it's just been a little lopsided. So I'm happy to be by myself. I went to the wide shot so everyone can see.
Yes,
we got dressed up.
This is not something we planned. No. Kramer and I both, without consulting each other, brought in red golf polos for us to change into for the Masters podcast. I wish you were making this up, but no, we totally.
That's the best part is neither of us were wearing it to start day.
No, I wasn't going to rock it the entire day. And I was wearing my white Sixers shirt. Yeah. It looks a little odd on camera. And then I was looking in my closet. I said, oh, I'll rock a golf polo. Oh wait, why not a red golf polo?
Why not?
In honor of Tiger Woods.
Rest in peace.
RIP Tiger Woods. He's alive and well, taking care of business. Well, we got so much to do. We are going to be joined by the Golf Gambling Podcast co-host Steve Shermer and Boston Capper.
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
A four man weave.
We
could be playing
talking golf, talking golf Masters. We got a little bit of a housekeeping to take care of. First off, Ryan, fire up the tout machine
let me ISO on you here.
Because what a run, March Madness. I, of course, finished 16-15 against the spread on the March Madness locks. Kramer nipping at my heels, 14-6, 15-6.
against the spread. Right, yes. No, well, whatever. We dominated. That's all you need to know.
I was two back of you, whatever it was. I was one back going into the championship. Oh,
so 14-7.
Yeah, I famously got the championship game wrong.
14-7, but we also dominated the odds shark bets over bracket contest, coming in first place. Our team came in first place and we went 20-11 with our locks over there. We got a $750 Amazon gift card. So we want to get some crazy shit for the studio. Tweet us at Gambling Podcast. What kind of crazy shit we should put in the studio. We already have the bar coming. It's getting installed Saturday. It will be ready to go come a Sunday for the Masters. And Ryan, we ran our own March Madness bracket contest. Congratulations to Alan Cooley coming in first place, winning a nice $1,000. So congrats, Alan. If you're listening to this podcast, hit me up. We'll get you paid. What else?
Sean, he's going to need that because he blew an opportunity.
Yes, he did.
I mean, come on.
Well, he blew it. I also blew the odds crowd contest. I was in first for most of the contest, ended up getting in second.
Tough.
The guy in second, he hit the side total and money line in the championship game. He won. He got 5,000. I only got 2,500. Still a pretty good run. And again, I will point out, I saw that he was on the under. I could have put three units on the under and just blocked him.
Yeah.
And could have taken home the money, but the gambling gods don't like that kind of pussyfooting around.
I don't think
I sucked it up like a man. I didn't play the total because I didn't feel great about it, but I let him have a chance, and
Him have a chance. And look, I mean, I'm sure fans of this program, specifically staying in the golf genre.
Yes.
Tin Cup, right? The man was stubborn. He wasn't going to change the opportunity, and he wanted to prove a point. But Sean, look, it is golf season, and I was sad because major college sports is now over, and NFL.
Ryan is on this kick where he calls FCS football not major sports because he's on an 0-11-1 against the spread record. So we are going to be doing an FCS podcast mostly just to hear Ryan's picks. So you guys, I mean, I can't remember.
This is the greatest stretch of all time. This
is the worst stretch of all time, I think, that we've ever had. Is this DiMaggio
56 games?
This is Ted Williams, the opposite of Ted Williams. That is Kramer right now. So we're gonna be doing FCS tomorrow. Here we go. We get a little Masters music while we shout out the presenting sponsor, WynnBET, baby. Thinking of getting in on the Masters action? Oh, they got the Masters. They got NBA. They got NHL. They got MLB. They got it all. They're bringing you that real sports action that you can get at the Wynn Las Vegas. Well, now you can get it in the palm of your hands thanks to the Wynn betting app. Oh, and a bunch of fun odds boosts, parlay boosts. They got it all and some of the best odds in the business available over on the Wynn Bet app. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details over at wynnbet.com. Download the app today. Wynn Bet, baby. Wynn big with Wynn Bet.
I mean,
you look like you wanted to say something, right?
I that music, it strangely gets me hyped up. Same as the round ball rock.
Round ball rock.
For some reason,
it is here, and I'm sure we'll be doing a little bit more NBA talk. We're going to be leaking into some NFL. I think we're going to get back to our mock drafts. The best ball drafts. Those were fun.
Come on, Sean, our new stance is that mock draft. I mean, fantasy mock drafts,
yes,
are stupid.
Fantasy mock drafts are stupid, but actual NFL mock drafts, we got some up on the site.
Those are happening.
Rod and of course Adam Pelletier, Fantasy Don, they both have their mock drafts up. We got ours coming.
Real quick, I think we need to start calling the first Don of fantasy.
Okay,
because I don't think anyone else is titled the Don.
No.
So
I like it.
Don. Let's claim that first.
Well, it came up, you know, I originally stumbled upon calling him the Don when we kept having him on for Bill's Mafia. So the Don of Bill's Mafia.
But it works.
But now I think just throw it onto the fantasy world.
It's going to be copied now that we've spoken it.
Breaking news, Ryan, relatively. And just hit on a couple NFL things before we bring the golf guys on. The Sam Darnold trade, Jets get three picks, a sixth rounder in 2020, second rounder and fourth rounder in 2022. Ships him off to the Panthers. Instant reaction on the Darnold trade, Kramer.
That Matt Rhule fleeced the Jets.
Really?
For a player that, like, he didn't give up all that much for a bullet. And I know, like, people will shout out like Josh Rosen, and we all agree, Josh Rosen. Like, if we just photoshopped him off the graphic from that draft class, no one's gonna be upset about it. Not even Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold has shown moments, and in, Sean, I think you're probably gonna be a critic of Sam Darnold, but anything would be better than the situation he was in New York. And you like Matt Rhule, you like the culture he's building there. And the offensive system is one that, you know, it created a monster in Joe Burrow. I think he's probably, you know, at a minimum, it's competition. At a maximum, you're getting a top first round pick for nothing.
Yeah,
and I think the change of scenery thing, going from New York to Carolina, it's like cliche, right? Like, sure, the media is still exists there, but they're focused on Hubert Davis. They're focused on other things. Like, yeah, the Panthers are a big deal, I'm sure, but the Panthers aren't the biggest deal. And while the Jets are losers and have been a loser franchise, I think the stakes in a weird way have gone down for him. So I love it for Sam Darnold. I love it for the Panthers. I think, Sean, I'm gonna be getting even higher on the situation in Carolina.
Well, and we're talking about
it raises the ceiling of what they can do next year.
We're talking about best ball. I think he is an interesting. I like stacking the best balls. He's him with Robbie Anderson, who they had a connection in New York. That could be like a deep, deep fantasy play. I mean, again, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback, but I think in that offense and that the Carolina defense really still has issues. So I think him from a fantasy perspective, kind of interesting in that offense with a bunch of weapons. Darnold only 23 years old.
Exactly. And what was wrong with him? Like, what was wrong with Darnold in New York?
He sucked. And I think the argument against Darnold is
he wasn't prepared, right? Like, he was a young kid. He came in young, right? Probably needed some more reps in college. But then what was his coaching situation like?
No. And again, you look to Ryan Tannehill. That's probably why, that's probably why they had to give up more than the fourth. Cause when the Titans traded for Tannehill, all they gave up was the fourth rounder. I think the second rounder that you had to add on in the sixth rounder, that is the Tannehill tax, because they've seen Tannehill. They've seen a quarterback not in the Adam Gase system, and they've seen how well they've done. So there is,
I think Darnold like tickles that elite prospect.
Well, if you're the Panthers, you're looking to get a quarterback. Yeah, you know, roll the dice on Darnold. If it doesn't work out, you're going to be drafted high.
This is how it went. Matt Rhule very recently was in college. Almost certainly, at least took a look at Sam Darnold in the recruiting process. He's like, oh, we can get a first rounder for nothing. We should take a shot.
Yeah,
we should at a minimum take a shot. I mean, and you know what you like? If you're a Panthers fan, your team's taking shots. That's what this is. Now they have to show a willingness to discard if it's not working out. They need, but we'll see. I mean, at least they're looking for a quarterback. Like, you could argue that.
Yeah, no, and
there are other teams kind of sitting pat with guys who maybe you don't agree with, like my Giants, who you think they should be moving.
Yeah,
and they're not. And so at least they're moving, I guess. They're not expecting something different from the same equation.
Well, and they realize Teddy Bridgewater isn't the answer. I still think PJ Walker is kind of an interesting prospect, but he's certainly, man,
Teddy Bridgewater. You got to feel bad for that guy.
Well, now he's going to get traded. Maybe he ends up on the Broncos. They're going to be shopping him around.
Feels like he's got a Sam Bradford career in him, you know?
No, I mean, don't insult Teddy Bridgewater like that. Teddy Bridgewater was always available to play. He was sabotaged by the medical staff. He wasn't Sam Bradford. It was just a complete soft nobody. And Sam Bradford got paid to an insane amount.
Yeah.
One more note, Ryan, in the office, you were coming in hot. You are staunchly opposed to the rising draft stock of one Kyle Pitts. You made Colby and I start breaking down Kyle Pitts game film, saying that you're not seeing anything explosive out of Kyle Pitts, right. that he's getting drafted way too high.
First
in
of
these
all,
mocks.
I love that we have the ability to quickly hop into the film room now.
Yes. Colby's on his coach's clicker. If you want to know what it's like working with Colby, just fires up old. I mean, we were watching the Eagles Cowboys from 1995 today.
The database doesn't have GPS,
no.
But the database can find on a TV with a TV remote search thumb. Can find old video highlights.
Yes.
Like nothing.
Dialed anyway, in.
Look, here's the Pitts take. And I think unfortunately, as much as you like to argue with me, I think you probably agree with me. We watched a highlight reel. So it's designed to make him look good. And I dare you to find the highlight in there where you're like, whoa. He popped. I get it. He's big. He's physical. We've seen other big physical guys flame out. We've seen other hyper athletic stretch tight ends, whatever you want to call them, flame out. As a Giants fan, it terrifies me to think of a guy like Evan Ingram. I'm not kidding.
I do think they might take him
at 11. They might take him, and I get it. Colby nailed it. I think you left at one point. He nailed it where he said, look, Kyle Pitts probably has a higher bust rate than most of the guys projected to go in the top 10.
That's fair.
He also has a higher chance of being like an all timer. He has a higher ceiling than almost like you could argue he has the highest ceiling of anyone in the draft based on his physical skill set if he gets paired with the right offensive system, which I also kind of agree with. So at some point you have to balance, like, when does it become okay to take an offensive weapon? And that's really what the discussion is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're looking at that way of you're drafting Kyle Pitts as a pass catcher, as an offensive weapon,
then why not
lean into one of the big three receiver options in Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, or Jalen Waddle instead of this tight end hybrid? I think maybe it's the type of the offense you plan on playing. It doesn't seem like he's going to be, you know, lining up at the end an inline tight end. He's going to be split out as a receiver ish. But then again, why not just draft a receiver? I see your logic there. He is exciting, but you're right. Drafting a tight end in the top 10 hasn't had great results historically.
And it's like we all joked about how the SEC has turned into this strange offensive conference with no one plays defense.
Lane Kiff, Big 12.
He did it, but a lot of the highlight reel we watched, the thing that really stood out to you, he has giant hands. He catches everything. He can obviously make athletic plays in the air. But what stood out to me is he wasn't getting bumped off the line and he was wide open. And sure, maybe he was running open, maybe he was undressing people, but like get some contact, show me what you're going to do over the middle with NFL. It worries me because guys have looked really athletic before and turned out to be soft or not know how to play the game or not be smart. One of the things that I think tight ends, the reason why they bust a lot, you have to be a little bit more mentally advanced to play inside. You're probably making more decisions, whether that's blocking or your option route. And I guarantee the shit he's running at Florida is like, just run, you know, hit the seam. And I think that's the area where is he going to be ready to come in and just play? You know, Andy Reid gets him. I trust that he'll do something good with him.
Yeah.
But are there 20
Detroit Lions?
Are there 20 coaches? If Dan Campbell's just like, chew kneecaps, bro. It's just like, he's going to be like, what?
If he ends up on the Falcons, that's interesting. And you need the quarterback. That's why if I was the Giants, I'm still looking at Trey Lance at number 11, Ryan.
Kyle Pitts needs someone that's going to teach him how to play football. That's my take on that.
Well, maybe I'll have to call
Joe Judge is a
call
teacher.
My buddy Gronk.
Joe Judge is a teacher.
Give him some tight end lessons. Odds crowd, baby.
I would like that if he got drafted into a situation where he could learn from Gronk.
Well, Gronk's a physical blocker, and that's why Gronk's.
Well, that's.
That's one of the many reasons he's a first ballot Hall of Fame tight end, and that's why we have his autographed football here in the studio. Good friends with Gronk, also good friends with the makers over at Odds Crowd. And that's not just because I got second place and won $2,500 in their free March Madness contest. They got plenty of free betting contests, including a $2,000 MLB contest. Still plenty of time to get in that. I mean, honestly, you can max out your units. You can play every day and make all the picks you want. It's a free fantasy contest. really great and really fun to use as like a private betting contest between you and your buddies. You guys want to set up a weekly against the spread MLB pool, NBA, NHL, whatever sport you and your buddies are into. Very easy to set up a little private betting competition between you. And yeah, besides that, a $500 free weekly contest. Again, completely free. What do you have to lose? The only way you lose, Ryan, is by not entering. And you can download the app for free over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. Joining us on the line, the co-host of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Boston Capper and Steve Shermer. Steve, what's it like to spend a year now, what year plus, hosting a podcast with Boston Capper?
You know, it's great. I mean, I never thought the Chowderhead would call into your little voicemail and give NFL picks, you know, every week would end up being my my co-host and a coworker. So yeah, listen, it's been great. We've been pounding out podcasts all week, pounding out the content for Masters Weekend. It's been pretty good. So happy to be here tonight. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, of course. And as well, Boston Capper, you started out like Steve said, just calling in, and now co-host of the Golf Gambling Podcast. I heard you're actually doing other radio hits, real FM sports talk radio. What's going on, Capper?
Yeah, man. Listen, there's a bunch of degenerates down here. He's actually a Boston guy too. We just happened to, I don't know, whatever. We ended up drinking at the same bar together, and this is doing a little networking. And this is when I was doing shit. I was just like, yeah, man, whatever. Like, hey, listen, I love the gambling. You guys ever listen to the Sports Gambling Podcast? These guys got their shit going on. And he's a degenerate too. He ended up getting a little over his head in Chicago and stopped back for a little bit.
Sounds like one of our listeners. I got in a little over my head, but I'm, you know, back to just sensibly betting MLB five days a week.
Can I publicly pay them a compliment?
Sure. Some? Kramer, let it rip.
I know you don't like compliments all the time that aren't paid to you directly. Look, I don't know. Like, can you think of a stranger pairing? I don't have a good golf reference here. I didn't come with my homework, but this feels a little bit like Phil and Rodman. I pulling back the curtain
Tiger
all the
Woods
way
in sobriety.
I'm not someone to roll my eyes, but when Capper said, "Hey, I'm going to do a golf podcast," I said, sure. Let me know when you're going to do that. He's like, no, it's going to be me and Steve. It's going to be great. I'm like, sure. And I was listening to the preview show, or I'm sorry, the DFS show with Nagels. And I got to say, it's you guys have chemistry. I'm gonna look at you guys. See the center. The chemistry is there.
Probably
shocking. I mean, Capper is turning into a host, Sean. Which, I mean, you know, still there's some words in golf that just aren't compatible.
Bermuda,
Boston accent, but it's great. And yeah, Steve. I mean, everything's coming together. And Steve has he comes in with his sharp, pointed, data-driven comments.
Yeah,
everything's flowing right now. And I was listening. I've listened to an hour and a half out of their like 100-minute. Like, hey, we see you, Colby Dant. We know how to do a 2-hour episode too. It works. Everything works. Everything is firing right now. The rocket, the SGPN rocket ship, is getting ready to take the fuck off, Sean.
Chemistry is real. It's legit. Yeah. I mean, if you were asked to handicap, would this podcast work out? Would Capper be able to get his shit together enough to be a legit co-host to Steve's oasis and fountain of gambling, golf gambling knowledge? I mean, we're looking at +400, +500 dog and cashing that easily. So
and here we are. What episode? Well, you guys just put what, 48 in the can?
Yeah. 48. Yeah. Number 48. So here's the thing. So as we've developed chemistry, you know, listen, I like to give out a lot of leans and stats, and I know how to poke the bear, and I know how to push Capper's buttons. I know little stats and trends that can get them just make foolish insta bets on stuff. Like, I'll give him the like most random lean ever on a guy, and I know it's just going to strike his fancy. So, you know, listen, you're exactly right. We've developed a little chemistry. I'm Tom Kite and he's John Daly, I guess, if you want to put it that way. So yeah, listen, it's been great. You know, thanks to one of his hosts, and yeah, it's definitely been a lot of fun, and we look forward to lots more episodes in the future.
I can't believe you fucking guys didn't have any faith in me.
Well, listen,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing.
Listen, I am the fucking OG supporter of this goddamn podcast.
Definitely, definitely an OG. And hey, that's why you were given a goddamn. Let me hold on. This is. You can watch this on YouTube later. That's why you were given a goddamn opportunity. All right. And just like Joe Judge. All right. Everyone's got a fucking job. Know your goddamn role. All right. I'm real hyped on the Giants right now, Steve. We can talk about that later. Well,
I think Nagel's nailed the Giants.
I had an idea on the drive over, and I figured I'd bring it up in front of Steve and you. I think we have to do a Giants roundtable. You have to be the moderator to poke all of us. We'll get Zach, Steve, Nagel's, all of us on. We'll I don't know. Be therapeutic, maybe.
That sounds like
it's only fair. You have an Eagles show. We got to have a Giants show.
There you go.
Right. We got to balance it out.
Tell Kramer.
Awesome. Like two mediocre fucking team podcasts. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Those are the most interesting ones. And you guys,
Capper wants to host the Cam Newton podcast.
Patriots still have Cam Newton at quarterback.
I hate you so much.
You guys will be lucky to hit mediocre with your free agent spending spree and reinvesting in Cam Newton.
We're gonna get Teddy B or Jimmy G, and we're still gonna suck. So whatever, dude. Listen, we're not here to talk about the Patriots, right? We're here to talk about the Masters.
We're here to talk about the Masters.
We are here to talk about the Masters.
Earlier today, Steve goes, so what, 20-30 minutes? And I go, sure, Steve. It will only be 20 or 30 minutes.
It always
10 minutes in. We're not even talking about golf.
It always goes long. We're live here on the locker room. So if you have a question about the Masters or Capper's blood alcohol level, feel free to request a chat and we can get you on. We are also doing a $500 free Masters DFS contest. Very easy. You just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. You send in a screenshot of you leaving a review of the Golf Gambling Podcast on Apple Podcasts, and you will get the link for the $500 winner take all DraftKings DFS contest. Let's get to the nitty gritty. Of course, Steve, I've been doing my research, AKA reading the articles that you write on the site. And obviously the big question coming in is, how will this course play in April versus May? What are we looking at here? And then obviously, you know, coming in from last year, even where what was the deal last year? It was super wet and a lot of birdies because the ball wasn't moving around too much, I think. Where are we at with the course conditions?
Yeah, so why don't we rewind the clock, you know, 6 months? So obviously the tournament got moved because of COVID and it was placed in November. And there were a lot of questions about how it would play. Like, you know, Georgia, the weather can be kind of, you know, cold or windy. There was speculation that it could be a really tough Masters. And what ended up happening was it was unseasonably warm. It rained a lot. And one of the big things that happened at that golf course is, you know, it's actually a Bermuda golf course. I've gotten on this podcast a lot of talk about grass types, but they had to scramble to overseed it with the ryegrass, and it wasn't the same type of grass that it was in April. You know, some of the Bermuda hadn't gone dormant yet. It was still a little too warm to, you know, kill it off. So it just played a lot different. Like, it was softer. You know, it was more of a driving show and a putting contest instead of like what we're used to, like a ball striking, like scrambling contest. So, you know, going back to April here, by all accounts, the golf course is really firm. You know, balls are running around the fairway. It's really hard to stop the ball on the green. It's hard to access certain pin locations. So I think we're going to see a pretty much total opposite flip of what we saw in November. You know, it's going to be difficult. I think iron play is going to be a little more important. Scrambling is going to be a little more important. You know, a lot of guys are going to be missing fairways too. And, you know, it's going to be more of a grind than just, you know, basically a 100-meter dash that was last year when Dustin Johnson just ran away with the thing.
Ever since I found out the course was going to be firm this week, I couldn't wait to make the joke about not as firm as Jim Nance when he shows up. The whole college basketball, it's like him in quarantine. All he wanted to talk about is fucking Masters. It's like, dude, I get it. I'm stoked for the Masters.
Well, too. Yeah, and again, he's got that golf course in his backyard that plays the Masters music on repeat, which I mean, it sounds awesome, but there's no way I'm not shanking some of those balls right into my own house.
Definitely smashed my own house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got the replica of the six at Pebble Beach, but yeah, like I've seen the videos and I would put one through like his back. window or something like that.
Yeah, that's his like housekeeper's bathroom window. Like he's not shooting balls at his own.
He's not putting
window.
The golf course next to his own.
If you got yeah, laminated toast money, you got guest quarters as well. Capper, moving over to you, Bryson DeChambeau. He of course America's favorite meathead. Yeah. We've really Steve. Kudos to Steve for tuning us into his quarantine weightlifting body transformation video. But he's been making some headlines saying that, quote, obviously there's something in the bag this week that's very helpful. I won't go into specifics, but just know this has been a few years in the making and I'm very excited for it. What is Bryson up to?
So we actually talked about this on the pod prior to coming on here. And I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, I mean, maybe it's some stupid driver, some weird hybrid thing. I don't know. In reality, it's probably just, like we said, HGH, and it's going to help him figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, it help him get over it. But Steve talked about it earlier today. Like, man, like, seemed like he learned his lesson at TPC. He played the course a lot different than he did at the Masters a year prior. But now he's talking about cutting the trees again at 11. He's got some magic fucking beans in his bag and he's twisted himself into the ground on the driving range when Vijay Singh's watching him. Like, I don't know, man. So I won't spoil it. Steve's got a pretty good take on it on the podcast that we did before this one. I don't know, man. I don't think he's America's favorite meathead either. Like, Gronk is America's favorite meathead.
That's true.
Like
people,
Bryce
most divisive meathead is probably the more accurate term.
Yeah, you're probably right about that because like you got the golf nerds, like the older cats who are like, he's breaking the game. Like, dude, whatever. Listen, everything evolves and you have to change, right? Change the courses, do something. Equipment's better. People are bigger and stronger and faster, just like it is in football. You don't have John Daly out there shooting and winning goddamn majors anymore. You can't smoke butts out there. Like, these guys all have workout regimens, like whatever. And he has decided to chase speed and whatever. I mean, it worked out for him at Wingfoot. I mean, since then, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Not really.
I feel like Bryson though Bryson's not the guy who lifted weights for sports. He's the guy that got bullied a lot and then found a CrossFit and is like, yeah, I can race through mud longer than you.
He's definitely in keto.
It's basically like if I took HGH and then I just got huge and started spouting Pythagorean theorem and drinking like, you know, creatine.
That would be Steve. Please do that. That would make for a very entertaining golf gambling podcast of Steve on HGH.
Part-time mechanic, full-time daredevil.
Steve, your articles always have a bunch of great nuggets as far as stats, trends, what, you know, kind of formulas to help you pick some winners for the Masters. One that just kind of seems obvious, but possibly overlooked when people get a little too cute as far as filling out their DFS lineup, making their picks, but very simple. 11 out of the 12 Masters winners were tourney winners that season. Is it really just that easy to pick guys that have won? I mean, it seems like right away you're going to knock off some guys that haven't won in the calendar year, and knowing that stat, does it highlight some guys that maybe wouldn't be on your radar normally?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to it. Like, I mean, the Masters, it tests all parts of your game. Like, you have to drive it really well. You got to, you know, hit your irons great. Like, you have to do a lot of things really well, and you have to be able to win a tournament in order to really, you know, a lot of things really well. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure. Like, obviously, guys who have won recently know what it's like to be, you know, in the fire and, like, you know, get it done. So, yeah, I mean, that's been able to kind of cross some names off the list, at least from my end. Like, I mean, Rory McIlroy's been struggling for a while now. He's got swing changes. He hasn't won since 2019 over in China. Like, that's, you know, do we think he's going to turn around in a week? I mean, maybe it's
that, Mac, that China win does not count.
Yeah,
I was awake for it, but you weren't. But
no one else was awake for it, Steve. You're the weirdo watching golf.
It's like an old married couple. Sean.
I know. Great. I like it.
The chemistry.
Love the dynamic. Exactly. There.
So, well, but yeah. So like other names like Xander Schauffele. I mean, technically he won the tour championship, but because the PGA Tour has their BS, you know, FedEx Cup, you know, layout, he didn't get the win. DJ got the win. You know, other guys who haven't won. Tony Finau hasn't won in 5 years. Lee Westwood hasn't won anything in a while. You know, Sung J M hasn't won in a while. So yeah, like there are guys who basically haven't won within the last 12 months that if you're looking for a reason not to bet them, there's a quick reason right there. So you know, it could save you putting bets on somebody who maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. That being said, I don't know. Am I crazy to consider Rory in a DFS lineup, Capper? I feel like I've gone back and forth with enjoying Rory. He seems like completely off, and then he kind of comes back in. Where are you at, Capper, with Rory coming into the Masters?
This is important. Please answer correctly, because Sean's going to change his DFS lineup based on your answer.
I know. I don't want to have to adjust my lineup once again on the air. But where are you at with McIlroy coming into the Masters?
So Rory was a high guy for us to peg, right? We had talked about this. Like, obviously, hey, listen, but first of all, regardless of how he's been playing, like, the pressure of him to win the Masters is real, right? That's the last one he needs, and it hangs over his head, and he says it doesn't bother him, but it clearly does. What's nice about Rory is he talks about, he's pretty open with the media, right? And what was it, 3 weeks ago, Steve? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was after the Players, right?
Right. Yeah. And he talked about seeing Bryson doing what he did and starting to chase speed, right? And it fucked with his swing, and he hasn't been able to really recover from that. I mean, this guy was literally like the best driver of the golf ball in the world, and he decided he needed to get 10 yards more distance because fucking Meathead was hitting it 20 yards longer.
It's an arms race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, yeah, seriously. Yeah. Dude, that's a great way to put it. Right. And so he felt like he had to, and he felt like he lost his swing at that point. And he just hasn't looked right. Ian Poulter put him in a fucking locker. And I know Steve dismisses match play, right? Because there's no stats data behind it, but it's real golf. And that's looking your competitor in the eye. And Ian fucking Poulter, the guy who wears whatever pants he wears, little weirdo British guy, stuffed him in a locker. And that's what happened. So, we were talking about it on the previous cast. Like, if he dropped to 20 or 22, I would have snapped at him just because he's Rory and the number's wrong. Same way we did a JT at the Players. Mm-hmm. But for DFS, there's no reason for you to play him right now. He seems lost. He seems broken.
Yeah.
Great course history here. And it is hard to ignore, but you don't have to do it in DFS. If you want to play Rory, bet him. Right. Don't ruin a DFS lineup, especially if you're only doing like one or three or something. Like
that. Yeah. I mean, and like with Rory too, I mean, there's another guy who wasn't popular right now that is $200 cheaper that, like, listen, like a lot of people this week has been pounding the narrative of, well, everyone should be sleeping on Rory. He's not that far off. And, you know, at that point, you kind of mush it, but no one's talking about Xander because he hasn't played very well either, but he's been kind of slumping lately. You know, but he's flying under the radar. He doesn't have a lot of ownership either. You know, he's been playing better than Rory has over the last 6 months. At least the form is a little closer than what Rory has been. So, I mean, Xander could be the sneaky pivot play instead of Rory because you know, when people talk about Rory, like, you might talk him into ownership. So, you know, there are options with, you know, other pivot plays than Rory, you know, based on guys who are maybe down on their luck.
Yeah, right. I would agree with that. But that Xander spiel that he just did, that's the Nagel's effect. Like, he's infected by Coe's brain.
Well, I know you love Xander. I mean, Xander is also a
fun guy to throw in there.
Sean, that's in the Kyler bucket, though, so you got to be careful.
It's true. I don't know. Kyler is a little
name
worse
starts
than...
with X. Starts with X.
What about
praise up to DMX for the stroke, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully DMX goes through.
Do a couple dog salute for our boy, man. DMX. Hopefully he gets healthy.
10 years strong running DMX out there.
Yeah. God bless him. As far as kind of some of the favorites, I know Kramer and I had Koepka to win the Masters. I in our serious FSGA fantasy in that futures draft we did. I think we had talked to Steve and maybe Capper as well, as far as like who would be good value. I think, what did we get him at when we threw that
14
out?
14 to 1.
14 to 1. So now not a great price because he's dealing with a knee injury. Steve, I know you're probably following this closely. Is Koepka someone, where are we at with Koepka? Is he like undervalued now because people are scared off the knee injury, or is he not worth touching just because of the knee injury, or should we just say fuck it and still ride
him? I mean, he's here, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, he's been spending a lot of time on social media kind of trolling people and like dunking on people. So like the Brad Faxon basically said his injury was more of a 6 to 8 month injury. And then Koepka, you know, quote tweeted him with a Michael Jordan meme of, well, I took that personally. So, and he's been doing that all week. Like I people were talking about how, you know, he's trying to find like weird lines and angles to like walk the course better. And then apparently there was a photo of him like crouching down on the green, you know, in like a catcher's position, like reading the putt. And
I saw that. That was great.
Yeah. So like, I mean, there are question marks. Like I kind of, you don't always get an honest answer out of Brooks out of these like press conferences. There seems to be a little bit of a wall with him.
Yeah.
You know, he could be still hiding an injury. You know, I kind of think like maybe like the injury is a little worse than he's letting on, but he cares a lot about this Master. He's putting a lot of his energy into this thing to win. Just like kind of like how Tiger did back in 2008 to the US Open. Like he definitely wasn't healthy coming into that, but he wanted to win it. He knew that basically his season was going to be over. He put everything he had to win it. Maybe Brooks is going to do that this week. So, I mean, his outright number is really good. You know, for DFS, there's a lot of guys around that range that probably are a little safer that have just as good of an upside. But I mean, for a betting perspective, I mean, the ceiling on him is huge. He almost won in 2019. He did very well last year at the Masters and didn't have very good form coming in. So, yeah, I mean, it's Brooks at a major and his number is reasonable. It's like 25-1 right now. You can get him on 30 on some books. Yeah, it might be worth a stab.
Yeah, 14-1, not looking amazing, Kramer, but I still think
it sounds like
Koepka.
You guys like.
I like the narrative of him putting, you know, just kind of putting the team on his back, so to speak, and really going out there and grinding.
And I like this gimmick. It seems like there's the like higher variance guys that you prefer to bet on. And then, you're leaving them off the DFS. Well,
and again, the DFS lineup probably. Also, are you chasing that?
Oh, so
are you chasing
now.
That Billy Maker, or are you doing a 50-50? Yes.
Are you so based on what you just said about Brooks, it sounds like, and based on how I think you guys think about this, you're not playing Brooks in DFS formats.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it depends on the format. Like in Millie Maker, if its ownership is under 10%, sure. I'm just like, I mean, there's as you guys see, there's a lot of good options at $9,000, and there's some contrarian plays in the $9,000 range too that maybe are even a little safer that have some upside. Like a Tony Finau this week, he's not coming in good form, but you know his ownership is a little depressed coming in, and he's playing great. Like. You know, I mean, he might not have the win equity as Brooks Koepka, but he could finish second or third. He's definitely capable of that. So, yeah, I mean, there's other contrarian plays in the $9,000 range that might, you know, have a pretty high ceiling as well, but are a little safer than Brooks. But, you know, I mean, if you're going for the win equity with an outright, or if you're in like a, you know, a Millie Maker and you see Koepka's ownership is going to be 5% because everybody's scared of the knee injury, yeah, go for it. Why not?
Yes. What do you predict if you had a guess, Steve? Brooks ownership percentage. What do you think that would clock in at?
Well, I mean, he has gotten some steam over the past couple days. I mean, his presence on social media, like Golf Channel is like pounding, you know, they're pushing it everybody's face. Just like with Bryson, they're pushing that in everybody's face. So the ownership has come up a little bit, I don't know, maybe like 10%.
I'm showing 12 right now.
Okay. All right. Well, 10, 12, it's immaterial. It's not a big difference. So,
he loves to correct me with numbers, but as soon as I correct
this
him with
so
numbers,
great.
I
really
this is a real married couple.
I can't wait to play a foursome with you guys. So we're ready to go right now, but
yeah, you guys have got matching outfits, man. You guys are ready to go.
We're going to play.
We got to do an SGPN invitational, figure out where to have it.
Well, listen, if you guys are going to do it out in, we got to book a place out in Vegas in September.
Let's go. Oh, baby,
the world is becoming
normal. We do like a Ryder Cup style.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be actually be a lot.
Listen, depending on how many people want to play. Like,
now wait, I may have missed it, but you guys, I know you guys did play golf together. Who ended up coming out ahead?
Oh, guess. I want the guess. I want the guess first before I hear.
That's interesting because if Capper's saying I want the guess, that is probably Capper beating Steve. Steve, I imagine more measured game. I imagine Capper higher highs, lower lows. Capper's maybe guy you play in DFS because you want that volatility if you're chasing a Millie Maker. So I'll say this. I think Steve may be probably the better golfer day to day, but Capper got the best of him on their match.
I would imagine Steve a bit longer off the tee.
Yes.
Maybe Capper can scramble a bit better. So I guess depending on the course, I don't know if they were on some shit. What's the name of the grass that we love when Steve
Bermuda?
Said, no, not Bermuda.
No,
Steve.
The Kuya, what is it?
Kuya grass.
Kikuya.
Oh, yes.
No, it was Bermuda fairways with bent grass greens.
Bent grass. That's what I like to hear you say. Look, I'm going to say obviously just the Steve one, right?
No,
you don't. So every summer I go through a bout of the shanks and right a week before I played with Capper, I had the shanks. I didn't even keep score. So it was a forfeit. I was just out there hanging out, you know, hanging with the friends, but yeah, Capper waxed me, didn't keep score. I was hidden into bushes. Yeah. Wasn't that fun, but you know, I had a great time with them. So
yeah, it was a great time, man. Fucking, it was me, my buddy Tommy, and him. And Kramer, listen, I'm not short off the tee. Dude, this past weekend, I think it's up mountain. I was hitting like 290, 295, like long all day, every
Cox
day.
All right.
probably looks bigger too.
What do we got here? Let's
gotta trim the hedges.
Oh, all right.
We're getting the Masters music in here. Class it up a little bit. Want to shout out PicksWise.com, friend of the program. They got it all. They went hard for March Madness, but don't worry, plenty of picks left over at PicksWise.com. Free picks for the NBA, free picks for the MLB, the NHL, and of course, they got you covered for the Masters. Hello, friends. You want some free picks? Head over to PicksWise.com. And speaking of free, we're giving out free daily video picks over on Better Than Vegas. That's right, Better Than Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for sports gambling, what you really care about. Capper makes some cameos on there. All your favorite SGPN people cranking out videos, daily free video picks. What more could you want? Make sure you check out our profile. Follow it. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. And now we move to the first fairway, the first on the tee box.
God help
Ryan
us.
Ryan Kramer addresses the ball and gives out his first DFS pick.
Oh.
Ryan on the number one tee box. Who are you picking and why? And we're going to have Capper and Steve grade our DFS picks.
Well, I very badly. I don't know how these guys feel. I mean, it's I wanted to put Bryson in this lineup, but he's so damn expensive. And once I got past him, I wasn't teased by any of these guys until I got down to post, by the way, Jordan Spieth winning last week. I called it. I am a professional golf tout.
Yes.
Second place, I think, in the one and done. I'm dominating. Rookie, beginner's luck, maybe. Anyway, coming back, 9,600. Colin Morikawa. I think it's important to have fucking stones. I think it's important to have good ball striking ability.
Mm.
Nice. And I think what Steve and Capper will tell me is they like. I actually don't know how well he scrambles, but I assume he scrambles well too. But I think you have to hit the ball well, and I think you just have to have stones. And I think I do like the pedigree angle, and I do like the fact that I want a guy who's got some drip. You know, I like the drip on my golf DFS lineups. So Colin Morikawa, I missed him in the one and done. I didn't get the victory. He has won as well, right? That's important. We just talked about that. So
well, I'm with you, Kramer. First guy, I'll let them grade this pick as a group grading. Because I'm also on Morikawa, as Steve points out in his feels best chalky bets to win the
it's
Masters.
It's not chalky at all.
Really? You don't think the ownership will be crazy on Morikawa?
No, there is a big mainstream pushback on Morikawa.
Oh, love it.
You guys are getting nice leverage on that.
Ooh. Nice. So, I mean, you don't need to talk me into taking Colin Morikawa. I'm still living off that hit of him last year. So I love me some Colin Morikawa, 9,600. I feel like this guy should be priced north of 10K, but yeah, Colin Morikawa, it sounds like Steve and Capper, you guys are both on this. Steve, what would you grade this pick?
I mean, I would give it probably an A-. Ooh. I mean, there are some red flags. I mean, the putting is, you know, a concern. And I mean, his one appearance in the Masters last year didn't go well. But like, there's a narrative. There's a lot of narratives out there of people talking stuff off Morikawa that just don't make sense. Like they say he's not a fit for the golf course because his stock shot is a left to right shot. But I mean, he's a professional golfer. I'm pretty sure he can hit a draw right to left shot that fits well at the Masters. I mean, you don't win a major, you don't win a WGC, you don't win one of the biggest PGA Tour events on the PGA Tour schedule if you can't hit the ball both ways. And he's a great iron player, he's a great scrambler. You know, I mean, we saw him overcome his putting issues on really tough, fast greens at the concession a month ago. The guy has a huge ceiling and he's not popular. I mean, that's great for
that's shocking to me.
Yeah, it is surprising.
Right. I mean, not that I'm super plugged into the golf universe, but I mean, I'm plugged in enough. I mean, we are the golf channel over in Slack, again, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Slack, Sean. It you don't have to look anywhere else. So if you are looking to get involved in golf, like we keep trying to push it on the Dantabase, still hasn't bit, but
Colby won't bite.
Just plug in right there. I'm shocked that Morikawa is not going to be more popular.
This is Colby's take on golf. When Kramer was talking about, he goes, "You got to get on Brooks." And Kramer, Colby goes, "Well, what's his first name?" So that's Colby's deal.
I didn't like golf either, right? Listen, I didn't even pick up golf until my fucking late 20s, because listen, where I grew up, if you played golf, you were a pussy, right? Yes. Basically, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Thank you for editing yourself there. I know what you mean. It's definitely,
you know what I mean.
If you're a dude in your 30s, start
getting
into golf.
What else are we doing? I mean, you're doing like what you go and play in like a adult league baseball. That's fucking weird, man. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, learn how to play golf. Play golf, and dude. It's great. You go out with your buddies. You drink beers. You get competitive. You think you're gonna be good at it, and you're fucking not. And it seriously, if you want to talk about like soft markets and things like that, we talk about this with weird. Fuck you, Kramer.
I don't like that you can see me now. I can't just laugh at you quietly.
You talk about weird Division II college football games that the bookies aren't paying attention to. Well, guess what? The matchups that we just crushed this last weekend were because all the bookies were focused on March Madness, and we were able to take advantage of them hanging shitty numbers and us crushing it based on the data. Man, if you like to gamble, you like money. It doesn't matter what fucking sport you gamble on. Like, come gamble on golf.
Pound your chest. I'll say that. Yeah, lots of same reason you like baseball. I mean, I wouldn't shit on the other rec league sports. We do as an organization, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We do condone recreational activities.
Yes,
I would just say golf is a lot like that. To my family, it's urban hiking. Like, you go out for a little walk, you hit the stick a little bit. Woo, my second guy, that's
Kramer likes it.
Come on, it's nice to be outside with nature. Next up, of course I'm taking Brooks. Mm. Are you kidding me? I mean, if I was gonna, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about guys like Tiger Campbell. Brooks Koepka is the opposite of that. Brooks Koepka is the guy that I would introduce to my mom. Brooks Koepka is just an all-American guy, 9,200, drip, drip, drip. He's ready. I think I saw a note that he looked sharp at the driving range. I'll tell you who didn't look sharp. Like, are we drug testing Bryson? Because it's not just steroids. Like, he looked like a maniac. Like, what is that? I mean, our social guy crushing it. That's absolutely
the video.
Beautiful.
Yeah, make sure check
that. That was awesome.
That was great. Was awesome. But Bryson's a psychopath, and everyone's like, "Wow, look how VJ was so impressed with him." VJ's looking at him like this guy's a psychopath. He's looking at him like
he was scared. Like, which is hard.
Did you see what VJ tweeted after?
No, what did he say?
BJ quote tweeted, it was like, "I told him he wasn't swinging hard enough."
It's hard to scare another professional golfer by your golf swing, but I think he did that. Capper and Steve, where are you guys at with Kramer's?
We kind of talked about it a little bit, but are you okay with me playing Brooks?
Yeah, listen, I'm fine with it, especially in like a GPP, right? And I would prefer to bet him. Right, yeah. They put them in my GPP. But listen, I'm fine with it. Like, if you're playing cash, you're playing three lineups, I would say not do it. But if you're gonna try to win a milli or 200K, like Sean did that one time, you want to make sure you get somebody who isn't that popular. And Brooks has been catching some steam. Let's take a look here. Let's see where he's at. So he's actually stayed flat since yesterday. He was at like 5, and then jumped up to like 10. He's still sitting at 10. So you're fine with that. I mean, it's not chalky.
Yeah, I mean, like in the $9,000 range, everybody's going to Cantlay and Spieth. I mean, Spieth is probably going to be the most popular player in ever this week.
Ever.
And there's actually not a lot of ownership on everybody else. So, yeah, I mean, listen, like I echo what my co-host said, like in like a cash game or like a 3 max. Like, yeah, I mean, maybe you don't want to go to Koepka, but if you're going for the $1 million and the million maker, yeah. It's Brooks freaking Koepka in a major. Go for it.
Let it ride.
And paired with Maury. I mean, he's already got leverage on the field. So let me ask you. So Kramer, are you doing the fucking Escalade backup bullshit? Like, do you have a $10,000 golf, or did you just skip that range altogether?
I found the last couple times I've done this, I've skipped it altogether, and I've the lineup.
I just want to make sure as I'm trying to figure out.
No, where I, you oh, I, oh no, oh. please. My golfers are always in order.
Well, mine, I jumped ahead because we wanted to talk about Colin. I do have an Escalade. This guy, and again, maybe you guys will tell me he's too chalky to consider for DFS. And I don't know, for me, kind of under the radar, he won the Players Championship. He fits the profile, I think, stat wise. Why not Justin Thomas? You're paying up for him, but I think he's kind of the perfect fit for this course for this year. Steve, am I way off on Justin Thomas? I mean, certainly he's super high priced at $10,600, but is he too chalky? What should I be scared of here?
So I think for betting wise and maybe like narratives and storyline wise, like just of like the general media. Yeah. I think he's getting lost in the shuffle because everybody's focusing on Bryson and his, you know, his guns and the circus that he's brought to town. Everybody's focused on John Rahm. He just had the kid. Everybody's focused on Brooks Koepka, but in the gambling and DFS world, he's not going unnoticed. Thomas is probably going to be the most popular player in the $10,000 range.
Fucking
but,
Christ.
You know, listen, like a lot of the things that we liked about Morikawa, he's a great iron player, great scrambler. Like that's really good with firm greens. And like, this is going to be more of, you know, it's not going to be a bomb show that DJ, you know, won, you know, last November. This is going to be more about irons. It's going to be more about like, you know, refinement in your game. And Justin Thomas can do that. And, you know, the one thing about Justin Thomas is when it's really windy, he kind of short circuits a little bit, but you know, up until last week, you know, it looked like the wind was going to be a big factor, like 20 mile per hour winds. The forecast has changed. The winds aren't going to be nearly as tough for him. It might get a little bit of rain that soften up the forecast a little bit. That might help him. So, yeah, I mean, it's popular, but it's, you know, you got Morikawa in your lineup too, who is not popular. That's might be enough to offset the leverage there.
Capper, what's your beef with this pick, if any?
I don't have a beef with this pick, but the problem for you, sir, is that I picked him for my one and done.
Oh shit.
Oh
yeah,
no,
you're fucked, bro. You're fucked. Listen, I can pick winners, but I need a revolver worth. Yeah, I shoot six, I'll catch it. Right, I shoot one. I've been fucking terrible with the one and done. But you're right. So, but I don't hate it. Like he should play well here, but Steve's right. Like the tougher course, I equate. We've talked about this before on the podcast. Like Justin Thomas is the Peyton Manning of golfers, right? He needs to be in a dome, right? Like he needs perfect conditions to be able to perform well. As soon as it gets cold outside, his asshole puckers up and Ty Law picks it off fucking five times. That's what happens.
Yeah. Right. And actually we can look at the players and there's a direct corollary too. So that first day he didn't do very well. Wasn't he even par? Like it was really windy. Yeah. And then he was not really a factor after Friday. And then the weather conditions were perfect Saturday and Sunday. And he shot what, like 65 or something to win it. So
play the cash register, please. Steve's reminding me of my win. Yes.
Ka-ching.
Yes.
All right, Kramer, what's your next guy?
Well, and I think I stumbled in, like he doesn't fit the criteria of winning, but I think I heard them say he was going to not be a chalky play, maybe even contrarian. My third guy in the $9,000 range, Tony Finau. Another guy who I don't know if I'm just always gonna remember the moment of him spraining his ankle after he hit the hole in one or whatever the fuck happened at the par three at the Masters.
That thing was brutal.
But it makes me think like he's had the most ridiculous thing happen to him already on those grounds, and like mentally that has to almost prepare you to say, well, it can't be as bad as that time. Because that was really stupid.
That is a big reach.
Is that how you made it through West Hollywood in all those years, Ryan?
Yeah, a little bit.
Can't get worse.
I think, you know, on some level, again, the theme here, you got to be mentally strong. And for whatever reason, I find it fun to root for this guy. I find it fun to watch Tony Finau play golf. And the fact that I was able to squeeze a Koepka, Brooks, Tony Finau, three man weave at the top of my order here. I love this spot. When I finished the lineup, I felt like Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man. I was just like, boom, it just came to me like the stars. So Tony Finau, tell me why I'm right.
Where you want to go? You want me to go?
So his form coming in is.
I know he missed the cut. He missed the cut. That's fair.
It's not even just to miss the cut, right? So it's his form in general has not been good. And look, I'm with you, right? Good course history here. His name's top five fucking Tony for a reason, right? Like can't win. Like see, would you say 7 years since his win? It doesn't even really count because it's fucking Puerto Rico.
5 years since Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't even fucking count. So Yeah, I mean, I really, so I was happy for Homer that he won Riviera, but I don't know, man. I don't know what happened.
Well, let me ask then. I'll make a more pointed question, because this is the one spot that I could have gone two ways. Yeah. And I'll ask Steve. The other guy that I was going to play here was Hovland. So it's either Tony Finau or Hovland. Is that the better play?
Yeah.
Oh no, Steve. Wow. Steve.
I mean, honestly, I like both. Ooh. I mean, I know Finau's form hasn't been very good coming in, but we're also not very far removed from him finishing, I think, what, four straight top fives. Now things change very quickly in golf, but you know, I mean, I'm very high on Hovland. If that's going to save you $400 where you can use it somewhere else,
I'm not using it. I wouldn't use it elsewhere.
I mean, gun to my head, I'm probably taking Finau over Hovland, just because Finau has done it before. He has a little better history at the Masters, and like, I don't know. I mean, like, Hovland's still a young guy, but I do like both. I think Hovland's actually might be slightly more popular than Finau, though, at least as far as where ownership projects.
He's already contrarian with his first two fucking
picks. I'm trying to win this thing, bro. You know how to win a GPP? You go all the way contrarian. Let's go, Sean. Who you got for your third guy?
Well, guy that
I'm going Finau, by the way. I'm sticking to it.
And again,
wrong choice.
Because I learned about this guy thanks to the great articles over on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Victor Hovland. Steve likes him as a prop bet, top 10 finish plus 300. That was good enough for me. He's kind of a young kid out of Norway coming in, playing the game the right way.
What a transition.
Almost 11 out of 12 cuts made. I'm rocking Victor Hovland for 8,700. Steve, you like him to make top 10. I assume you would like him for DFS as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, he's a young kid. He hasn't had a top 10 in major yet, but like he's only played in four. He was a low amateur in 2019 when, you know, Tiger won. He shook his hand, Butler Cabin. Listen, the guy's been playing great. Finished, you know, top 10 in Riviera. Finished, played well at Torrey Pines. Those are two golf courses that tend to have crossover leaderboards. So the fact he played really well at those places, he could definitely play well here. I mean, like, and if you like Morikawa, you got to like Hovland too. I mean, they're both really efficient tee to green, and this is going to be more of a grinding Masters, more of a ball striking contest. Hovland is definitely the type of guy you want to be looking for.
Capper, you share the Hovland love?
Of course he does.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm 100% with you. Cause first of all, he's a fun golfer to bet on and watch. Cause he'll go four straight birdies, double bogey, bogey, eagle. Like it's just a roller coaster. And I mean, listen, you guys are degenerates too, man. You love the sweat, right? The sweat is the fun part of everything. Right?
The sweat is the best part.
The sweat is the absolute best part, right? Like, I mean, I think we had money on Hovland. Where the hell was he hitting that fucking three wood chipping off out of the, was that concession?
It was concession.
This dude crushed it. Hit it over the green. He's in weird palmetto bushes down here in Florida, and he's taking a three wood out and chipping.
Yeah.
And it lands 2 feet inside of the fucking.
You're making me feel like I got to switch my. No,
how excited they got with Hovland.
I just fucking told you that it was the wrong pick. Hovland over Finau.
No, I know. I know. Sean wasn't listening to that part of the show when I asked about Hovland right before he brought Hovland up. But we don't have to tell Sean that. But yeah, no, I'm going to stick with Finau, I think, just to be different. But I like how, obviously, he almost made it to the drip squad. My next guy, Sean.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Mr. Fitzpatrick. I have plenty of drip to this point to put that nerdy motherfucker in my lineup. I highly recommend you look at his DraftKings picture. Looks like he came straight from a swirly, like right from the toilet. But I think Fitzpatrick is going to be the first chalky guy I have. Seems that in a lot of my prep, he kept popping up. So 8,100 Fitzpatrick. Again, I think he seems to be a very like popular guy in this price range. He fit nicely into the lineup. Of course, I have to start saving money here, playing all those $9,000 very nice cars, not quite Escalades.
Going hard.
So, Steve, you go first. Is Fitzpatrick the right guy here to start gluing the bottom of my lineup together?
You know, we both talked about him a lot on yesterday's DFS show. I think I gave a stat to Boston Capper that just really pushes buttons and piques his interest. So there's something to Yeah, I mean, like he looks really young, but this is seventh Masters. He has a lot of experience at this place. Ooh. And, you know, once you get to seven appearances, there's a little bit of a level jump into your overall performance. So, and he's just hitting that peak, and he's playing great the last four tournaments. Like, he played great at Arnold Palmer, played good at the Players Championship. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things to like about him. The only knock I would say on him is iron play has been all that great, but he's so good at getting from up and down for par off the greens. And I think with the firm greens, a lot of guys will be missing greens, and it's going to be kind of a scrambling contest, and that's going to help him. So yeah, I mean, like, his popularity has gone up through the week. Like, you know, if you want to, I mean, like, Cam Smith is right there, and he's got a little bit low ownership, but I like Fitzpatrick more than Cam Smith. So yeah, I mean, even with the popularity, you're contrarian up top, I think it's fine.
Yeah. It's not like it's 20% with Fitzpatrick. I mean, shit, I bet him outright. Like, I already bet him outright. What is he, 50-1? We grabbed that. You grabbed him too, right, Steve?
Yeah, a month ago I got him 80-1.
Oh, wow. That's a big dog. Another young guy I got in my DFS lineup again. Learned about him via Will. Or sorry, his name is Will. Will Zalatoris.
Sean can't keep track of the young guys he likes. That's what happens.
There's so many young studs in my stable. Zalatoris, only $7,300, kind of a new kid on the block. Again, Steve seemed to like him for a best newcomer. As far as he's playing in his first Masters, he does have five top 10 finishes. Again, rolling the dice here a little bit, but $7,300. Am I crazy to go dumpster diving here, Capper? What's your take on Zalatoris?
Oh, first of all, anything above $7,000 is not dumpster diving, sir. Okay. And no, absolutely not. He's definitely going to be a popular pick. The guy is a premier ball striker, right? He's really good with his irons. He's a stud on the Corn Ferry. He should already have his card, because of COVID, it kind of fucked him. I mean, look, he's definitely popular in this range. Me and Steve have a tendency to fade these guys, but he's nowhere near, like, you know, whatever, the 20% from Paul Casey. And I mean, if you look at the guys around him at 7,300, I mean, look at it. What, Harris English, Justin Rose, who might not even play. Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I'm fully on board with Will Z. I didn't take him top debutante, not newcomer, Sean. Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Will Z, man. He's a really good player.
I'm sorry. What just happened? What did I say that word again, Cap?
Top
debutante.
What does that mean?
It means the first time they're there.
Oh, yeah,
they he got that
debut.
Right.
Oh my goodness! It just sounded funny.
Fucking wheel, man.
That's very. That feels like a word you shouldn't be allowed to use.
You're thinking of like those debutante dances, and you're coming up with a weird association.
Well, it's the same thing.
But yeah,
it's the same thing.
I'm getting aroused.
With the creepy dads would bring their fucking 16-year-old daughters out. And be like, present my debutante. Like,
it is funny to think of doing that with Will Zalatoris at the Masters. I think that's what was. I think that's what was going on in Kramer's brain.
Well, now I'm thinking of what's that movie with Liam Neeson where the daughter gets kidnapped? That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, wow. Isn't that everything?
Taken.
Yeah, Will's getting brought out in the big fishbowl. he's fresh.
Steve,
first time.
Thoughts on Zalatoris?
Yeah, I mean, piggyback on what he said. I mean, he is a premier ball striker. He's the best ball striker in this range. I mean, next to Sergio, he's the best one. But I mean, his numbers rival Morikawa's ball striking, Justin Thomas's ball striking. He's great, and even though he's a newcomer, he's battle tested. Like, he's been to a lot of golf courses in his young professional career on the PGA Tour where guys who typically have good course history there play well, and you want to fade guys who either have no history or bad history. And he's done great all of them. Like, I mean, he showed up to the US Open, finished top 10. He's been to a couple other places like Torrey Pines, Bay Hill, TBC Sawgrass, where guys who tend to have better course history or more experience do better. And he finished great there too. So I don't have any reason to think that he won't show up to Augusta National, the golf course where you is the most important to have good course history. And I think he can do great there. And at $7,300, like, you don't need a top five. Like, if he finishes 14th or 15th, you're perfectly fine. It's a perfectly acceptable, especially with the guys around there. So, yeah, I mean, I love the pick.
Kramer, what do you got?
Well, I got to go to Capper first because I just want to hear him say his last name. Max Hama, 7,100. Why is this? All right. So why is he so cheap? Is it just because the youth thing and the fact that
I'm also on Max Homa, so you guys can grade
7,100.
It's first of all, it's Homa, guys.
Okay. Homa. Mm-hmm. Homa. 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 I mean, he won.
Homa.
He won. He won the. He won the Genesis.
It's a family show, Capper. Relax.
Invitational, which again, I was kind of looking at guys who've won in the past year, and Max Homa jumped out at me. Are
you
we
say
crazy?
Homa, I say Homa.
Are we crazy? 7,100 feels really low for this guy.
It does, right? And so the reason he's low, he's only played here once, right? He missed the cut. But I kind of feel like he's coming to a different point, right? He won Riviera, super tough golf course. Steve will tell you it's a comp course. I mean, look, the guy's good, man. Like, he's a really good young player. He should get more ownership than he does. The problem is this is the Masters, and you do have to take course history into it. And Steve has a thing. It's almost like the third year wide receiver for fantasy, right? Mm. Like, you have a third year, a third time playing, a seventh time playing. And fuck, I fucked this last one up all the time. Is it 12, Steve?
That's nine.
Right. And so he's only played here once, and it was course conditions that aren't going to be anywhere near what they are now. But he is a different player. Listen, I don't fucking hate it. I don't hate it at all. I think I have him up for a top 20 and a top 10. I don't hate
nice.
It. I don't Capper? Love it. I don't hate it.
Capper, where are you at? Or sorry, Steve, where are you at on Homa?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that are right. Like, I mean, his last four tournaments, he's gained about a stroke per round tee to green. He won the Riviera, that is a comp course. Like, guys like Bubba Watson won a lot at Riviera. He's won the Masters. Phil has won a lot at Riviera. He won the Masters. Adam Scott, Dustin Johnson, all these master winners have won a Riviera and then gone and have great careers at Augusta. And now he fits that narrative. And he is a different player. Like, he went through a little bit of a tough time with his career, and, you know, he lost his car, gained it back. You know, but, you know, he's riding high. He's a really talented player. He won the NCAAs back as an amateur. Like, it's not just a flash of the pan. Like, he's a legitimately good player, and he's just starting to finally come to his own. So he is getting a little bit of popularity. You know, he's starting to get a little bit of that push. But you know what? I mean, you know, he's a good player, and I can't really hate on the pick.
Well, yeah. Max Homa, also a local kid.
Drip.
He is from Burbank, California. Drip. Where you and I were roommates back in the day, shared a house in Burbank.
That was the part of the origin story, Sean. Exactly.
Did you guys have young boys in the stable then as well?
No. We did.
Well, it was the equestrian district. So yeah. last pick, Kramer, what are you doing?
There's anything wrong with that.
Like, no, of course.
Absolutely. Look, 6,800 for Matt Kuchar. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? That forehead, I get to, he's making the cut. You know, he's making the cut. He seems to be playing pretty well too, which I feel like typically once you're in 6,000s, it's got all guys that just are playing like complete shit.
And not so, Masters week.
And so, yeah, perhaps you're right, Capper. So Matt Kuchar for 60. I only had 6,900 yet, which was fitting.
Nice.
But 6,800 for Matt Kuchar. You know, again, I'm kind of grabbing at a name that I can trust here. I feel like he knows how to perform in a top 20 sense at the Masters. So Matt Kuchar, 6,800. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he is playing a little better. Like, he was struggling since the COVID break, but something's just turned on the last like couple of tournaments. I mean, he played well in match play, you know, and then he followed that up with a really good performance at TPC San Antonio, and he's kind of been crediting, like, you know, a little bit of a turnaround with his game lately. And he doesn't seem to be as popular as what you would think. Like, there's a lot of name recognition, Matt Kuchar, and maybe, like, you know, some of these ownership projections aren't factoring in, like, the general public will just flock to him. But just as far as, like, in the no DFS community, like, you use all these stat databases, you know, everyone's going up $100 more to Jason Kokrak and Corey Connors because they're just ball striking gods. And Matt Kuchar doesn't show up on the, you know, and he doesn't pop there. But I mean, they're missing on a little bit of context, the fact that he is, seems like he's back. You know, he's got great course history at Augusta. It seems like how this tournament is probably going to go with the weather and the course conditions. It fits his strengths as far as, like, you know, just solid consistency, getting up and down for par, you know, maybe draining some putts. You know, it's not going to be a birdie fest where maybe, like, he can't really, you know, do it as well as he used to. Yeah, I think Kuchar is fine, especially if his ownership is as low as what people are thinking.
Yeah. I'm listen, I love Kuch. We talked about this on the previous podcast. he was a cockroach that wouldn't fucking die at match play. Like, he's just, like, he really wouldn't. Like, he was just smoking guys he shouldn't have smoked, ruined bets, and I finally ended up having to bet him, and whatever. It is what it is. Like, he has found something. He had talked about going back with his coach and trying to figure something out, and he's back to the old coach. He's not going to win, right? But listen, I got a top 10 on him. I got a top 20 on him. Like, I fucking love Cooch here.
And so, yeah, sometimes you just need a little of that cooch to get things squared away. Maybe you're maybe you're backed up. Who knows? You know, sometimes the ladies got to get to business just because, you know, it's been a long week.
My
gotta
final
make sure the pipes are working.
My final Masters DFS play. And this is co-signed. We have a couple other guys who do some golf stuff. Matt T, John Cobos over at sports, or maybe Cabos, I don't know, over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. They threw this guy out. I was also keeping my eye on him again, kind of going through Steve's formula of did guys win recently. He won the American Express, top 10 finish at the Shriners and the Players Championship. Give me Siwoo Kim for a bargain price of $6,700.
Sean loves to dip his toe in the Asian market.
Well, you know, hey,
Asians, Siwoo, young boys, all these things are coming together, Sean.
Siwoo Kim, he fits the model, he fits the numbers. Yeah. Steve, am I right to be investing in Siwoo Kim at $6,700?
I mean, listen, I think I need to pass this off to my co-host because he needs to get hosed down every time we bring on Siwoo Kim. So, you know, Boston Capper, take it away. Gush about your boy.
You're 100% fucking right, Sean. This dude is one of the best iron players in the goddamn world, and he is disrespected at this numbers. I have an outright top 10, top 20, top Asian. Like, this, listen, he's it's a roller coaster, right, as far as when you bet him. But it's the fact that he's priced down here is absolutely ridiculous. Who is priced above him? Like, the fact that Matt Wolf, the guy who literally can't keep the ball on the fucking planet, is $7,100, and we're getting Siwoo Kim at $6,700. Kevin Kisner, the short knocker, who admittedly knows that he cannot win here or any other long course, dude. Siwoo is not especially long off the tee, but he's not short, and he seriously, when he gets dialed in, he is sticking it to 3 feet every time. So it doesn't matter if he can putt or not because he's going to get in there. $6,700, Siwoo Kim is the best pick of either of your lineups.
Can I a couple other things to think about? So, yeah, I mean, like, he hit a little bit of a rocky patch since he won, but, like, in the last couple of turns, he has turned around. And I do want to say, too, that I think I recall that when I first started coming on this podcast, Sean's, I think his last pick of his original DFS lineup when he did this was Siwoo Kim, and he did pretty well for him at the Masters there too. So he's got some good luck charm with him. I think you should continue to ride Siwoo Kim with it.
Love it.
Right, 150-1 if you want.
150-1. Well, and
151, and we actually hit Siwoo. What did we get him at? We got him at 80.
We got him like 80-1 at the end.
80-1. Wow. That was a family dinner too. Like, everybody on the Slack channel was just fucking.
That was up. Dude, lit up.
My man Moonoff sent me that 21-year fucking Redbreast. And I enjoyed on St. Patty's Day.
All right, so I'm gonna throw out a couple outrights I like in top tens, and then we'll get some D-gen props from Capper and Steve, and of course Kramer. Feel free to throw out your outrights, top tens.
Again, not Jordan, like fading Jordan Spieth this week.
maybe go against Spieth in the outrights, but the guys we just hit on in DFS, I'm playing outright. Okay. Justin Thomas at plus 900, Siwoo Kim at 150-1, and Max Homa at 150-1. For my two top 10 bets, I'm taking Hovland a top 10 and Homa top 10.
Hovland,
Hovland's plus 300. I don't know. I don't have the Homa top 10 so price in front of me.
Look, Brooks is 28-1 and Morikawa is third. I'm seeing 32-1.
What are you finding 32? I grabbed him at 30 and it dropped down to like 27.
It's between like 30 and 33 on most books now.
What makes me like that feels, you know, brings me back.
Sorry,
Sean,
and throwing Colin Morikawa to 32-1
to the come first on. Time.
That's the blackjack live to the live Sean right
place
there.
Your
I mean, Sean was the original golf tout when he had Morikawa with the PGA.
Yeah,
so
come
on. Of course he has to go back to Morikawa.
I gotta get Steve, a little taste.
Let me tell you something about a professional golf tout. All right, 2012, the first year we cover the Masters.
Oh yes,
Bubba Watson 25 to 1. Let's fucking go. I've always thought, always liked the 25 to 40 to 1 range. Feels like that's where you find the winners and get paid. Yeah, I'm gonna go those two guys. Can I just give out two sure. outrights? Is that okay? Yeah, and then I would say fade. I'm going to be fading Jordan Spieth where it makes sense, aka with everyone. I want to fade Jordan Spieth. I see that he's back, and it's just like, oh, but now he's going to the course that can mind fuck you, right? He just won level one of Tetris, and now he thinks he's going to go defeat Bowser. All right.
Well, he has defeated Bowser before, but he also has a very terrible memory of level 12.
All right. So let's look real quick. is Spieth back? And this, no, Spieth's not back, is he?
Spieth just fucking won. What do you mean?
I know.
Of course he's back.
Yeah.
He's back. Hold on. He's back. And here's the deal. I'm very fucking biased. Okay. I have a 51 fucking ticket on Spieth. Okay.
All right. So do you want the unbiased opinion?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. Let him talk.
All right. So the problem with Spieth over the last year and a half is like, yes, he was squirreling off the tee, but the biggest issue was his iron play was just awful. Like, I mean, that was really what was carrying him. Like, that's his biggest strength. Go back to 2015, 2017, when he won all the majors. That's now back. Like, the numbers he's putting up with his irons are as good as Morikawa's, as good as Justin Thomas. Like, and this is now like a 2-month pattern where that started Phoenix and then he played well at Pebble Beach. Yeah, I mean, like, he's playing great. Now, as far as betting wise, like, you missed the boat. Like, that 50-1 number that, you know, that Willy Wonka golden ticket that my co-host is on right now with him.
Sounds
no longer
nice.
Out there. Yeah. It's great.
Sounds nice,
like,
before he fucking won last week.
So, I mean, if you want to try and make money off Spieth, like look at matchup plays, like against him, like I'm betting Spieth plus 120 over Bryson. I don't like Bryson at all this week. I'm totally out on him. And nice. The fact I'm getting plus odds on Spieth with that, I'm doing it. So yeah, I mean, at this point, if you want to get a little shares of Spieth, probably the matchup mark is the way to go.
He's a Cowboys fan. I was so really hoping to lead into that. First round leader, Sean, Sergio Garcia, 50 to 1.
Okay.
Matt Kuchar, 70 to 1. And then the last one I'm going to give out top 20 on my guy. I'm double dipping with Morikawa. Top 20 is even money.
Oh, okay. So, I like that. I like throwing a little even money action.
And I'm gonna be in the Slack just following what everyone else is telling me to bet. I want a lot of action. We're playing golf on Friday, so there's gonna be golf and
bars
betting.
Get installed in the studio. It's gonna be a great
hashtag Degens Only
Masters weekend. Before we let you go, guys, of course, make sure you subscribe to the Golf Gambling Podcast. Send in that screenshot of your review over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. That'll get you the sign up link for the $500 free for all.
I didn't hear how much did it cost to play?
Completely free, Kramer. Completely free.
And what's the prize?
$500.
How do they do that? That's an infinite overlay, Sean. That's an
huge overlay opportunity. And there's not a ton of people in the contest left. So good opportunity to make some free cash. Like, again, just throw out some darts here.
Not to be a dick, but fuck you, it's free.
Exactly. What more do you want? Takes 2 seconds.
I literally said that during ad read tonight. I'm sorry, Sean.
That's all right. The advertisers love when some drunk guy from Boston screams "fuck" in their reads.
Listen, man, I'm not a fucking drunk guy from Boston. Okay, I'm a buzz.
He's trying to calm down.
He's a buzz guy in Florida.
Well, I gotta hear what
exactly.
We're workshopping on a replacement for the F word for him.
Yeah,
we'll give it some time, right?
Only because you know, Kramer, you fucked me with it because you said "don't say fuck" so much, and now I think about it all the time when I fucking say it.
You're right.
This isn't mine. This is your podcast.
It's my
bad. Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Well, I
gotta get our shit going.
We can't let them leave.
Are we gonna get fired?
We can't let them leave without a
yes. DGen prop bet. Steve, I'll let you go first. What do you got for us? Any sort of wild? I know. We always like to take Tiger not to make the cut, or
he's not
obviously
there.
Not for the Masters, but
he's definitely not making the
maybe
cut
Tiger year. To make the cut is the real DGen only prop bet.
Rest in peace.
What do you got for us, Cap or Steve?
All right. Well, I mean, I think you gotta be a true degenerate if you are betting low senior golfer
yes.
at the Masters. So, I mean, it's there's a couple guy or there, well, there's one guy I really like. So, you know, up at the top of the card, I mean, you got Phil Mickelson, which is kind of a sticker shock. The fact that he's now a senior citizen at this event. And he's like minus 120 or something. You got Bernhard Langer, you got Fred Couples up there. And then you got a bunch of guys over 10 to 1 that probably aren't making the cut. So this is a three horse race. You know, Bernhard Langer, like, he hits it probably about 220 off the tee, but he hits it on a rail. And with how firm the fairways are going to be, that ball is going to roll about 30, 40 yards. He's going to have pretty short approach shots into the greens. Still can hit his irons pretty well. And this isn't going to be a tournament that is a birdie fest and they can get away from him. He can just grind out pars and, you know, stay up there. So he's 4 to 1. This is the type of conditions that he's tended to play well at his advanced age in the last few years. Yeah, I think he can be the low senior citizen at this event. So Bernhard Langer, low senior, plus 400.
Oh, I like that. He's also, he's German, correct?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that means he can finish the tournament. He's got whatever, like whatever stuff they got cooked up. Cause that, I mean, we talk about this. We like the Freddie Couples first round leader angle. Cause know his ass isn't getting the,
it's always fun. He made a run
350 to one guys. Come
his,
on.
His back's not making it through the whole tournament. That's why the first round leader.
We didn't
talk first round leader. Steve, do you have any first round leader bets you like?
Well, I mean, so I have a lean. So it looks like on Thursday that anyone going off in the morning is probably going to have the advantage. Like the winds aren't going to be as strong. The winds are going to probably get about 10, 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. So I think the first round leader is probably going to come out of the morning. So there's a lot of good guys down in that range. Like, and usually you get one of the favorites as like a leader. So, you know, take your pick down there. There's a couple sleeper guys who are going off the AM, like Matt Jones, Siwoo Kim. You know, there's a couple guys down there who can definitely get hot in the morning and post a number. So yeah, I would probably target guys going off in the morning on Thursday for your first round leader bets.
Shout out to Munaf. He's always on the first round leader bets. And he maybe we'll get him to post one on Riffer. We're also on Riffer now.
What's Riffer?
It's a great question. You can go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer, RIFFR, putting out little mini audio pods. They're only
micro pods,
they call them, under 3 minutes. And we're putting out a bunch of little free picks over there. So give us a follow on that, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. I know Munaf gave out some NBA props he just hit on. Coaching. I, of course, gave out some nice March Madness picks, as you know. Capper, what's a DGen prop bet you like, and maybe a first round leader as well?
I was just thrown off by this Riffer thing. Wait, are they a sponsor?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving right along. The
our sportsgamblingpodcast.com/RIFFR.
All right. Sounds great. Short attention span, millennials. I get it. Makes sense. Can't listen to, you know, 10 minutes of talk. I get it.
So 2 hours of golf. No way.
No way. Zero chance. I even know we go long. Who gives a fuck? All right. So I guess, I don't know, so not a DGen bet, but let's give out one for everybody. If they're not going to come over and listen to our podcast, this is one that me and Steve were on last year. And we got screwed because there was no fans there and they didn't place it normally. Round 4, hole in one, plus 150. They always put it in the bowl and they didn't do it last year. And this year we're going to get some fans back. Round 4, hole in one, plus 150. It's not really like a DGen bet. So,
what does the fan impact have on that bet?
So basically what happened last year was, I mean, the traditional Sunday pin placement at 16, it's, you know, you get all the excitement. Everybody knows how to play. You basically, you know, hit a fade to the little ridge there and the ball funnels towards the hole. That's why I see a lot of aces and like it gets the crowd like excited. You hear the roars reverberate through the golf course. The fact that the fans weren't there, you know, they didn't want to put it there. And I also heard like there was something with the greens that they couldn't actually put in that pin placement either, just because the grass wasn't growing. So they're going to put it there this year. If there's going to be a hole in one at the golf course, it's probably going to be Sunday in round 4 and 16. I mean, the last time there was a hole in one on anywhere else besides Sunday at 16 was back in 2013. You know, some books offer like you can get a hole in one on, you know, round 1, round 2, or, you know, just hole 16. The best odds they've been putting out is hole in one, round 4, it's around like plus 150. And honestly, it's just a fun prop to be on.
Yeah,
like anytime they flash, the Vern Lundquist, like, you know, this random scrub golfer on 16, you get excited if you're on yes. And let me tell you, I've been on no on that prop and it's excruciating.
Oh, that's
like
brutal.
Every time they flash to it, it's no fun.
No.
Like, oh
no,
my God.
He's gonna hit
going.
It.
And then the ball starts going. You're like, please miss. And then when it goes in, it's a feed. But when you're on yes, oh, it's great. Even when it misses, it just gives you like the rush and the energy. So yeah, just bet yes. You're gonna have fun with it. Like, you know, just go nuts. It's awesome.
And I'm seeing on sportsbooks, by the way, they top debutante. I love that.
Yes.
Who knew?
You learn something.
I'm not that classy.
You learn something new every day, Kramer.
Well, I also learned that there's a guy named Joe Long debuting in the Masters this year, 28-1.
All right, guys, that was awesome. Thanks as always for calling into the podcast.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Make sure you check out the Golf Gambling Podcast, subscribe and get that review in and send that in sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters for your chance to win $500 completely free. That's right. Completely free. Any closing picks, Capper, Steve, anything else, any parting words here on the Masters? Oh.
I know, Capper, you want to go first? You want me to go first? Is he still with us?
You
all right, well, I'll go first then.
What happened, Capper died?
He lost. We lost him.
All right. RIP.
So I guess, you know, at this point, if you haven't put any outrights down, a lot of things have been bet down. So, like, you know, guys like Patrick Cantlay, like I got him in a better number about a month ago. He's down to like 20-1. So, but if you're looking at these outrights, there's some crooked numbers out there that just don't make sense. Like the Morikawa number is like 30-1. Doesn't make sense. The Brooks number, like he's 25-1. I know there's the knee injury issues, but he's got a ceiling. Like even like a guy like Tyrrell Hatton, who doesn't have a great course history at the Masters right now. There's not a lot of steam on him. There's a lot of hate, but he's won three times in the last year. Up until about a month ago, everybody was dying to play him. And now it'd be like the steam is completely off and he's down to 50-1. Like that he's the number eight player in the world. It's a bad number. So like, even like it, just close your eyes, like try to find players like that, that just have numbers that just don't make sense that do have high upside. And, you know, who knows, it's the Masters, anything can happen. And maybe you're holding a long shot, like, you know, like a Danny Willett, like that strategy worked back in 2016, Danny Willett had a 50-1 number that just didn't make sense based on his form, who he was and his world ranking. Tyrrell Hatton's kind of the same place this week. So, you know, look for guys like that. Look for opportunities where the book is napping, because you're right. Some of these books aren't as sophisticated with setting their odds. You know, maybe you can catch a good number and, you know, get a big score.
Love it. All right, Steve, appreciate it. Thank you as always. And give Boston Capper a follow on Twitter at @Boston_Capper. Hop into our Slack channel. I know Steve's going to be going crazy with the information analysis.
No bullshit. If you're going to bet the tourney,
You owe it to yourself.
Like I see people with their one cheaters, their cheat sheet, like their Twitter list. Like you don't need any of that.
No.
Just hop into Slack.
Hop into Slack. Join the golf channel and enjoy the ride.
Yes.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Let's go, Brooks.
Kramer, let it ride.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.